Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
There we are. Good morning. Eddie Chavez here. I'm the aforementioned Eddie Chavez. This is Jesus 911, where today we have a two-man car. Jess Romero, I'm reporting for duty. How about you, sir?
I'm 10-8 Eddie, reporting for duty, sir.
Jess, we have a good show today, as usual. We're going to talk a little bit about an article that came from your website, your group of PDFs that you have available for the public. But we're going to talk a little bit about are you diabolically afflicted, and the answer to that. How do we respond to those people who believe they are afflicted spiritually? And we're going to talk about that a little bit today,
Eddie. And this is important because a lot of people think, I mean, they start getting headaches, and I don't know, they start hearing stuff at night around the house, and all of a sudden, right away, they jump from, you know, they jump from just kind of a normal state of being into, I'm possessed, help. And so we want to kind of ferret we want to go through some of the arguments and actually go through some of the solutions in the event that you are diabolically afflicted. Now, let's just be honest. All of us, to one extent or another, are being tempted by the devil. Every single one of us, from the Pope all the way down, okay? If you live on planet Earth, welcome to reality. Every one of us is being tempted by the devil. That's called, every exorcist that writes on this topic, they call this the ordinary activity of Satan. That's just what they do. That's what Satan and demons do. They tempt all of us. Now, the most acute form of attack, obviously, is possession. And a lot of people jump to the conclusion just because they're being tempted and harassed and vexed and annoyed, they'll go from there to, help, I'm possessed. But we want to go through the healing process, how a Catholic would approach this, using Catholic principles to heal themselves if they feel that they are being diabolically afflicted. And again, you can get this article. It's on my website. Go to jesseromero.com. It's every day I put in I put a free article that I've been writing stuff for like 20 years now, and I'm starting to put all this stuff for free on my website.
It's about time, Jess. It's about time we should study that in your living room.
Yeah, I just want to get rid of this stuff and put it in people's hands is what I want to do.
Jess, this reminds me of a law enforcement concept. Usually, when we're on patrol or in the car, we're just kind of out and about. We're in condition yellow. And that's what people are normally in their lives. They're conditioned yellow. What happens when some paranormal things begin to occur in somebody's life, they immediately go to condition red, where now all of a sudden, I'm possessed. And this is what this article is talking about. You know, we go to the emergency right away, we push the panic button, and this is what we're going to address. Because most of the time, we can remain in condition yellow if we're in a state of grace. We don't have to automatically press the panic button and go to condition red, where all of a sudden we're in defense mode. So let's talk a little bit about that, Jess.
Yeah, and again, one of the best ways just to stay combat ready, so to speak, as Ruben Nava says, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. If you live in a state of grace, the problem's taken care of. But the fact is, a lot of Catholics, let's just be honest. Well, I'm only going to talk about Catholics right now. I'm not dealing with other people. A lot of Catholics just don't live in a state of grace. And so, you are in some way, shape, or form, you are inviting the diabolical. I mean, that's just the theology of sin itself. If you're not in a state of grace, the devil only has two weapons, sin and death. Okay, that's it. He tempts us to sin, and then he causes us to have... He causes us to fall into mortal sin,
eternal death,
and that leads us to death. Those are his two cards. He's been playing them since Adam and Eve, sin and death. So let's go to the healing process that the Catholic Church has given us for the last 2,000 years. First of all, in order for us not to feel vexed, annoyed, tormented, harassed by demons, we have to remove the obstacles in our relationship with God. And the main obstacles are that we believe in lies. We embrace, we're apathetic about the faith. We have unforgiveness or even hatred for somebody. There's shame, but no contrition. Or we're involved in unholy alliances. You have bad friends, or you're just in a bad relationship, bad dating relationship oftentimes. Or you just, you're given to extreme emotions, anger, fear, hatred. And I mean, it's just like extreme. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to repent, and then we have to have contrition or compunction. It means the same thing. Compunction or contrition, it means the same thing. It means you have to have a deep remorse for your sins, and then you have to have metanoia. And that's the first step to healing from the diabolical. Eddie, can you go through those three steps?
Sure, Jess. Let's talk about compunction first. So compunction is a realization that my sin has an effect on you. My sin affects the mystical body of Christ and diminishes the grace that all of us are due. My sinful state inhibits my ability to see Christ in my neighbor. And Justin, this is one of the reasons that it's important to do this, because we have to understand the entire picture of what sin is. I think a lot of people look at a sin as like, hey, it's just me. I'm not affecting anybody. It's just me and the things that I do wrong. I can make up for that. But the reality is, because we are the church militant, we're the church militant, the church that's alive, the church here on earth, is that it does have an effect in a mystical way and a realistic way on how other people view us, what happens in their life. And so this is why it's important for us to realize the whole dynamic of our sin and what it is. Yeah,
and St. Paul has the whole chapter just on the fact the way your sin affects other people. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He goes through exactly what you just said, Eddie.
Exactly. And so and then it says also here that metanoia is the action that leads to change. It's the difference between merely saying, I need to go on a diet, and I'm actually changing my eating habits. And so this is the hands-on stuff, Jess. This is what you realize what your sin does. Then you have to come to knowing the effect that it has on others. And just let's be honest, a lot of people that are thinking that they're diabolically afflicted, that are the men of the household, Jess. They're the men that are have a lust in their hearts, that they're chasing pornography, they're watching pornography, and if that doesn't affect the family, I'm not sure what else does, Jess. This affects the family, it infects the children. I heard a priest talking about how the children got on the family computer and hit history button, and they saw all these porn sites that somebody went to, the father went to in the middle of the night. So these are things that affect other people, and we have to realize what it is.
Eddie, I'm gonna just prove what you just said right now, because this could be really the entire show of what you just said right now. There's a story in the book of Tobit. Okay, it's in the Old Testament. It's a small little book. Okay, Tobit, he lives in Israel. He's a blind man. He got in some kind of an accident, and he went blind. So the story goes on. His son Tobias, he's in a faraway place, and he's left his father to try to find some type of remedy, and Tobias ends up journeying, and Saint Raphael is actually journeying with him. Saint Raphael is patron saint of healing, patron saint of marriages. And Tobias, he goes to a city called Media. I think it's probably in Arabia. And he falls in love with a woman named Sarah. Now, here's what's interesting. Sarah had been married 7 times before. And guess what? All her husbands were killed by a demon on the wedding night. Okay? So here, can you imagine? Now, your husband, number 8, Tobias, and Raphael tells Tobias how to cast out the demon. And so Tobias gets married to her, and I think it's in chapter 8. It's a beautiful prayer. Before he goes to bed the wedding night, he prays a beautiful prayer. He leads her in prayer, and that prayer drives out the demon. And he even says within the prayer, he says, God, give me the grace not to take my wife in lust. And so that story, Eddie, says everything. I'm going to just assume that Sarah, this beautiful woman that's mentioned in this story, married 7 non-believers, 7 pagans. And again, the husband is the point man of the house. Grace enters through the husband, or also the demon enters through the husband. Obviously, these seven men were not men of faith, and they were killed on the wedding night in the wedding bed. And here, now we have a man of faith, her eighth husband, Sarah's eighth husband, and the demon is driven out of the house by Sarah? No. By who? By Tobias, this who, again, invoked the intercession of St. Raphael, and he drove the demon Asmodeus out, and they lived a happy life. And he just shows us one thing. Number one, you pray, you lead your wife in prayer. Point number one, demons say, uh-oh, we got to pray. Man, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. This guy knows his authority. And number two, Sarah submits. She's not some radical feminist. Says, okay, honey, I'll follow you in prayer. You lead me in prayer. And then number three, he takes his wife in sexual intimacy, but not in lust. Okay. And Eddie, I don't know how many guys have called me up, or how many women actually throughout the years have called me up and said, Jesse, is that okay? My husband does this to me and does that to me. I said, what? I said, is you married him? Yeah, is it okay? The common one, Eddie, I'll just be honest with you, sodomy. I'm always getting asked that by women.
Yeah,
all the time. And I say, nope, that's a mortal sin, whether it's done with a man or with a woman. It's a violation. God condemns sodomy, period. That's unclean sex. You're inviting a demon. Eddie, go on.
No life from that, Jess. Come out. Come back. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus 911.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat? Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car. Jesse and Eddie here on Soul Patrol. Jess, I want to just go over real quick what you were just talking about, because it's very profound.
Isn't it a fascinating story?
Yeah, it's really awesome.
The Protestants don't have that book, by the way.
Ah, there you go. Tobit chapter 8, Jess. And here's the prayer that he tells his wife, that Tobias tells his wife.
That basically drives out the demon, Eddie.
Yeah, it's verse 4. It says, "My sister, come, let us pray and beg our Lord to grant us mercy and protection." And then he goes on. And gets into the prayer. It says she got up and they started to pray and beg that they might be protected. And protected from whom? Protected from the demons that had killed her 7 previous husbands. Beautiful story, Jess. I mean, and the prayer goes on and on. I won't start it, but it just gives his faith in the Lord and how that saved him and changed Sarah's life because this having 7 previous husbands that's a widow and a half there.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. And can you imagine the reputation she had in town?
Yeah, exactly.
don't even get near Sarah. You'll drop dead.
Stay away from her.
And the thing is, Father Ripperger is always talking about, as Americans, we've lost our ability to discern the clean from the unclean, especially men. And remember, just a simple basic spiritual warfare principle: demons are attracted to the unclean. Demons are repelled by what's clean, and that even means your sexual practices in bed with your spouse. I'm going to be quite honest with you. You're either inviting God into your bedroom or you're inviting a demon.
Just, and society doesn't help us.
I
was on the bike just this morning, in front of the TV watching the news report and a beautiful young girl giving the weather. And I'm thinking, why is she dressed like that? It's amazing. Just
well, she's doing to tell us about the weather.
Yeah. What do you need to look like that for? But I mean, it's just amazing how. Don't look to society for help, Jess. Look to society for help because it's not going to come from there. That's for sure.
Yeah, and Eddie, here's something very interesting. Demons, guess what they're called in the New Testament? They're called unclean spirits. And remember, just simple math and biology: like attracts like. Unclean spirits attract unclean people. So let's jump right to the. You were talking about repentance, compunction, or contrition, and
metanoia. We got into metanoia, and it's the difference between saying, "Hey, I need to go on a diet," and actually changing eating habits. This is what takes the majority of our strength to be able to go on that diet, change our intake. So, just it's really there's really some analogies there. I mean, one French exorcist says, one of the most urgent tasks of the exorcist is not only to cure the possessed person, but also to lead him towards sanctity. There's nothing which can so surely diminish the power and dominion of Satan as the conversion of the victim.
There it is.
And so that's where it has to start. And, just nobody has control of the victim except the victim. And so, yes, the Father can pray for you. The team can pray for you. You can solicit help from the Blessed Virgin Mary, yes. But you yourself, man or woman, has to make the decision to convert and totally come on the side of Jesus instead of doing what you're doing, which got you into this trouble in the first place.
And that puts you, like they say in police work during officer survival lectures, position of advantage.
Yep.
Get a position of advantage over the suspect. Okay. That's what happens when you have when you convert in your heart to God and you say, man, I'm done with, I love God. I'm going to follow him. Guess what? Now you're put in a position of advantage.
No turning your back.
When you're unconverted, you're in a position of disadvantage.
It's like turning your back on a suspect, Jess. A suspect that just potentially robbed something and you turn your back on him. You law enforcement officers would never do that. Yet, and here's for my brother police officers that listen to the show all the time, Jess, and you have contact with them and I have contact with them. You turn your back on somebody that can take your life. That's not the smartest thing to do, but yet policemen do that often in their personal private lives.
In their spiritual life, you're right. Eddie, Father Jeffrey Grubb, he's an exorcist. He teaches at the Pope Leo XIII. He says this, this is from his PhD thesis. He says, in such moments, the exorcist becomes a catechist and an evangelist. On a regular basis, he has to undertake a journey of faith with the individuals who present themselves for healing. He works diligently to move them towards conversion. Many of the people who seek the assistance, in the end, the demonic influences were removed from those who accepted to work cooperatively with the exorcist, most of the time without the benefit of the exorcistic rite. Many of the people who seek the assistance of an exorcist share the prevalent mindset of American society and expect immediate relief from their affliction without any conversion of heart. It's not going to happen. The genuine cases of demonic possession continue to remain few in number, while those who suffer some other form of torment by the devil are numerous. So this is a contemporary exorcist right now. Busy diocese, Chicago, Illinois. Again, he's saying with this other exorcist who wrote back in 1850, nothing's changed, Eddie. If the person doesn't have an interior conversion of the heart, it's none's going to happen because the person is not going to cooperate. Unless a person totally cooperates with their body and soul in the sessions, they're not going to get healed.
Jess, and you know, this is the most difficult part for some people that have a pattern of sin, a pattern of mortal sin, because mortal sin makes you blind. Like you said, it affects the faculties, the lower faculties. And so a lot of people don't realize the harm they're doing with what they're actually committing. So I would say that this is the most difficult part for somebody in a pattern of sin. And what we see just many times, for example, just some weeks ago, I interviewed an individual who began by saying, you know, I don't know why this is happening to me. I'm a pure man. Well, that's a heck of a statement, but he said, yeah, I'm a really pure man. Well, come to you know, later in the interview, we started saying, okay, have you ever, you know, been to a brothel? Oh, yes, many times. How about relationships with women? Oh, yes, many. Well, how can you, without repenting of that, think that that's not going to have an effect on your spiritual well-being, yet you believe that you're a pure man? So this is something that people deal with all the time, Jess. And this is why the exorcistic rite is not needed, because people just need to come back and
they need to come back to the sacrament.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Is when you can bring a Catholic back to the sacraments, that's how the relationship with God, that's how the soul is healed. And the relationship with God the Father is reestablished. It's all the prodigal son theology. In fact, this is what they teach at Liber Christu, liberchristu.org. It's all Luke 15 theology. Reconnect people who are playing out there with the pigs in the city. Reconnect them back with God the Father by the healing of their soul, not their emotions. How do you do that? By the sacraments. It's all a return to the sacraments. And it's all giving him the catechesis, that which they have to embrace, which gives them the strength to start living in a state of grace. Eddie, the Protestant model that just prays over people in mortal sin, even a lot of the Catholic charismatic models that follow the Protestant model, it doesn't work. All they're doing is healing people's emotions, or they're giving them an emotional relief. Because the Bible is very clear. The Bible says not to be praying people that are over people that are in mortal sin. Where does it say that? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. Here's what it says. Quote, if anyone sees his brother committing what is not a mortal sin, he will ask, in other words, intercede, and God will give him life for those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin which is mortal. I do not say that one is to pray for that. In other words, if you know somebody who's in mortal sin,
keep your hands off them.
You can't pray for him. They have to repent themselves. In other words, the prayers are in vain. It says all wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin which is not mortal. So again, we got to bring the people to an awareness of conversion, their own personal conversion, instead of just saying, oh, this guy's steeped in mortal sin. He's living with his girlfriend and he's married. He's got 5 kids. All right, dude, come over here. Let me pray over you. Let me lay my hands on you. I'm going to be let me just be a fake priest here and lay my hands on you and pray over you. Okay, you can go home. How do you feel? Oh, it feels so good. It feels good. You just made me feel good. And he still goes back with his girlfriend, romping in the sack, and he's left his wife with 5 kids. Okay? You wasted your time by praying over somebody with mortal sin, because what you need to do is call him to repentance and put them on a prescription. Tell them what is sin and what is eternal death, and call them to repentance. Call them to, you need contrition, and call them to a metanoia. And then at that point, send them to the sacrament of confession, which is our next topic.
Yeah, Justin, real quick, I'm so thankful that I learned how to interview people well. And this is what happens when people say, nobody's ever prayed over me. But once you start digging in that intake interview and you begin to say, okay, you know, what churches did you go to besides the Catholic Church? What did you do here? What did you do there? Sooner or later, just they remember, oh yeah, that one time, yeah, that pastor laid his hands on me because I was in a circle of Christians and several of them put their hands on me. Just this is what gets a lot of people in trouble. A lot of people get demonic transfer from these right. acts that are pushed in these non-Catholic models of deliverance, and that's why we have to get them.
You have a lot of people in mortal sin, Eddie, just praying over you.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you want something
if they're ex-Catholics, and they've rejected the fullness of truth, and they're living in second and third marriages, like a lot of these Protestant pastors were ex-Catholics. That's why they leave. And now they're laying hands on you, and they're in mortal sin? Are you kidding me?
That's unclean spirit, Jess. That's exactly what we're talking about. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about the indispensable power of the sacrament of confession. It says, next we go to the sacrament of confession. If you have not been to confession in years, you may want to do a general confession. That is to confess every sin you have ever committed since the age of reason, which is about 7 years old. Regular confession is a healthy spiritual practice. It's recommended that we go to confession at least once a month. In today's corrosive culture of death, monthly confession is almost the minimum required for someone who is serious about spiritual progress. St. Padre Pio, St. John Paul II, and Mother Teresa went to confession about once a week. These are the great saints of our times, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to confession once a week. I suggest you try to do the same. Go to the same priest if possible so he can get to know you and understand your sins, your weaknesses, your strengths. Would you go to a different dentist every 4 months? Of course not. A Catholic's required to go to confession at least once a year. So the church is very generous, Jess, with what it puts down in the catechism as far as its suggestion on how often we go to confession. But because we are in extraordinary times, Jess, I would say every month it has to be every month because there's so much things going on around us. The devil is at such a higher alert and putting out so many evil things that some people don't even recognize they're evil. I think we have to go to monthly confession.
I have no doubt, Eddie. That's the sound advice of good Catholic spiritual directors, EWTN and others. That's what they recommend for lay people is monthly confession. Again, if Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, and John Paul II went once a week, I think I could stand to go once a month.
Jesus 911, we'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Eddie and Jesse back here patrolling the streets. Jess, we are talking about confession here. The church's recommendation that we go 1 year, but you and I are saying it's probably should be more often than that because of everything that's going on.
Yeah, every spiritual director that's worth his weight that I've talked to in the country has, they send lay Catholics to monthly confession. If you're possessed, once a week. If you're going through sessions, once a week. If you're not possessed, if you're just regular, a good spiritual director, I'm talking Fathers of Mercy, Mother Angelica's priest, the those Franciscan friars, any good order. A good diocesan priest, they're going to send you to monthly confession if you're just a regular lay Catholic.
Yep.
And it's very powerful, the sacrament of confession. Here's what a few, I just want to just mention the names, and I just want to get, if you want to read that section of the article, go to my website, jesseromero.com. This is a free PDF download. The article is called, Are You Spiritually Afflicted? Are You Spiritually Afflicted? Everything that Eddie and me are saying, it's right in the article. I wrote it down. I want to get into, Eddie, the importance of prayer in this instance. Moving a person who says, help, I'm possessed. Help, my house is haunted. Here's what we have to do. Here's an analogy. Can you imagine somebody who's just, obese, got some heart issues, and he just in bad health. And he says, man, I want to be in shape. I want to be in good shape. I want to, be able to run 5 miles a day or run a half marathon or something. Well, maybe you should stay away from the pizza place and In-N-Out, and maybe you should join Planet Fitness. And who knows, maybe you should even get a trainer in Planet Fitness and get on a whole diet. I mean, a whole change of life. You're not going to get from point A, from being obese with all kinds of medical problems, to running a half marathon. So if you go on Planet Fitness, here's an analogy of the Catholic Church. This person who's grossly out of shape is like a person who's diabolically afflicted. Planet Fitness, or you could name any gym you want, doesn't matter. That's like the Catholic Church. Inside all that equipment there, those are all sacraments and sacramentals. Okay? Now, you got to walk through the door and get involved. And if you really want to take it to another level, you could actually get a personal trainer and pay this guy. I don't know what they pay a personal trainer. And this guy's really going to whip you up into shape inside, because there's all the equipment inside Planet Fitness or whatever gym to get you in shape. But you got to walk through the door, and you got to make that concerted effort every single day with your shorts and your towel and your gym bag. Walk in there and have a personal fitness trainer with all the equipment in there and go through the grind every day. This is the same thing with possession and exorcism. You got to come to the church, and guess what? The church has all the Nautilus equipment that you need. All of it. Prayer, sacraments, and sacramentals. Guess what? If you're not using it, you're not going to get healed. And then if you're on the most acute case, which is called possession, which is rare, but it's the most acute case of diabolical attack, well, then you get a personal fitness trainer. That would be a Catholic priest. And he's going to operate. He's going to tell you what you have to do and pray for you so that you can get healed and give you the sacrament of confession. To me, Eddie, that's the most basic analogy I can give somebody. A lot of Catholics want to get healed spiritually. Their soul is grossly out of shape. Their soul is grossly sick. Their soul is grossly in mortal sin, and they're saying, where's Father? I want to get healed. Okay? This is not a magic wand here. Father's not going to, you know, just swing a magic wand over you and you're going to get healed from demonic possession. He's going to be a spiritual trainer. But boy, oh boy, are you going to have to walk through the church and you're going to have to do everything he says and you're going to have to use all the equipment he tells you, which are faith, prayer, and sacraments and the sacramentals, which are only found in the Catholic Church. Eddie?
Yeah, Jess, that's a great analogy. And you know, this is the thing. This is why people have this impression that that going to an exorcist, they can solve your problem immediately because of some of the shows that are out there. Just they misinform people, right? And so they go to a priest and they say, well, what do you mean I have to say Auxilium Christian Known Prayers? What do you mean I have to say the rosary? I can't do it. It burns when I put my hand on the rosary. Why do I have to do it? Listen, if you want to achieve the goal, then you have to work toward the goal. And this is the problem that I see just a lot of the times. And here's what it says about protocol in the article. It says, in your article, it says, a sequential series of steps or actions to be taken in the facilitation and or administration of a case brings order, continuity, and uniformity. Just brings order. So we have to get rid of the patterns of sin, right? Because sin is chaos. Sin is the equivalent of chaos in our life. So when we get rid of that, there's a certain order that falls into place, right? So we understand that if there's some curse or spell on a family member, it can surface during prayer in a consistent way that allows the exorcist or the team to see where somebody might be afflicted, where the issue of affliction is taking place.
And by the way, yeah, you can get the prayer protocol. It's on Liber Christo's website, libercristo.org. That's Father Ripperger's lay branch of healing, deliverance, and exorcism. It's run by lay people, but it's under Father Ripperger's spiritual direction and authority. You can get, and also you can get it in this article. I actually typed it out and I put in this article. It's called "Are You Diabolically Afflicted?" So
that's what we're talking about right now. Just we're talking about the prayer protocol that we're talking about.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what we're talking. And so, yeah, it mentions those three things: order, continuity, and uniformity.
Yep. And so the actual prayer protocol, this was established by a lot of exorcists around the world that are saying, you know what, we need to go back to a monastic form of teaching Catholics that are possessed or spiritually afflicted at a high level how to return to a life of deep prayer in the sacraments, because this is the way it was done way before Vatican II for centuries and centuries. It was, they used to put the penitents to the petitioners to the energumen on a prayer protocol. And so the purpose of this initial period, it's a minimum of 30 days, is to establish a baseline of prayer and discipline from which the ordinary extraordinary diabolical activity, which is possession, it can become much clearer to identify, as opposed to the person just having psychological issues or human character flaws, which tend to have a greater effect on the quality of life aspects, as opposed to possession, which tends to respond adversely to ongoing conversion or advancement in the spiritual life. So the operative definition of healing in the Catholic sense is this process. It's reconciliation with God the Father through Christ the Son and His Church through the sacraments. That's healing. And so phase one, it focuses on the development of the will consistent with metanoia, or the desire to return to a right relationship with God the Father. And the initial prayer and discipline description, it's based on the soul's formal relationship with God the Father through Christ Jesus, His Son, and His Church through the sacraments. In other words, the question is, what is the soul's self-declared relationship or level of initiation in the church with God the Father? Eddie, I noticed that most people that come and are knocking at the door of a priest to try to be healed of some spiritual affliction, I notice most of them don't have much of a commitment to the Catholic Church. They're unevangelized. They're not well catechized. They really don't have a relationship with God the Father. And most of them, if not all of them that I've dealt with, are involved in a life of mortal sin.
Yeah, just and that you know you can't avoid noticing that when people come to the church, you know, you ask them, describe your faith life before this all began. Well, you know, we'd come to church a couple of times a year, Christmas and Easter, but just this is not the relationship that we should have with God. And if that hasn't become clear in the
that's
last
not saving faith, as St. Paul says.
That's right, Jess. And you know, and right now, you know, this coronavirus thing that we're going through, this is, I think, is what people are seeing. I'm hoping and I'm praying that they're seeing this because, you know, it could be that they're giving us time that to spend time with our families. Who knows what's going to happen, Jess? We don't understand if this is going to get better or worse, but this is giving us an opportunity. So what we want to do now is talk a little bit about the prayers that the protocol gives us to come back to the sacraments, Jess.
Okay, I'll go through them real quick. Then the next segment, we'll go through them specifically.
Okay.
Here's the prayer protocol that Father Ripperger and many exorcists around the world use to somebody who's that wants to see a priest. They say they're diabolically afflicted. It may be possession. So a lot of priests around the world are using this protocol now. And this is for a fully initiated Catholic, by the way. They have to have made all their sacraments. So you'll put them on, pray the Angelus three times a day, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. And you have to set your phone to 6 a.m. so you can wake up and do it. You pray the binding prayers against demons. They're called Auxilium Christianorum prayers. Those are prayed three times a day as well, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. At 12 noon, you add the prayer, the Confiteor. Okay, that's the prayer you say at Mass. It's like the act of contrition you say at Mass. At 6 p.m., you add to all the other stuff that I've just said. At 6 p.m., you add the act of contrition. You also, three times a day, 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m., you pray Psalm 130. It's a powerful psalm of repentance, Psalm 130. You also add throughout the day the Holy Rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy every day. There's also a media fast. No social media, no internet, no games, no television. You listen to holy music, specifically Gregorian chant, for 30 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at a very low level. Demons can hear it, even though you can't hear it because it's low. The only thing you're allowed to read for 30 days is the daily Mass readings. You can read all the prayers of the Mass, even the priest parts, okay? You can read the whole Mass every single day, and that's as many times as you want, but that's all you can read is the daily Mass readings and the daily prayers at the Mass. Next, have blessed candles in your house. Blessed candles dispel night terrors or evil presences. Next, make sure your house has sacred images and sacred art to replace secular garbage that you may have at home. And also, this is supposed to be followed by everybody in the house, not only the petitioner. Parents and siblings are supposed to follow this protocol.
Attention VMPR listeners, we've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's BritfieldInstitute.org, or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Romero and Chavez, Jesus 911, we're helping you repack your war bag. Jess, we just went over some prayer protocols that we want to talk just a little bit more about to explain the importance of some of the prayers that they're asking afflicted people to pray.
Eddie, and I'll tell you why this is important to follow, because I was talking to Father Justin Brady. He's the exorcist for Boise, Idaho. He's also a teacher. He teaches exorcism. And he says that when you get the entire family, okay, say somebody's diabolically afflicted in the house, maybe even possessed, okay? He says if only the person, the diabolically afflicted person, if only he's doing the prayer protocol, but the wife is living say it's the guy, the husband, and the wife is living a life of mortal sin and debauchery, and so are the kids watching pornography in their room and all that stuff. Guess what? That affects the prayers of that father, because there's mortal sin. There's portals in the rest of the house where demons are coming in. So the father's already afflicted. This is compromising the prayers of the father, because you have portals all over the house where demons are coming in. And that's why Father Justin Brady, he says the goal is to get the whole family on board on this 30-day protocol. It's like the ultimate, like, you know, remember me played football. Anybody who's played football, you've heard of Hell Week, okay? This is like the ultimate Hell Week. It's 30 days. But you put the whole family there, because Father Brady says when the domestic church, which that's the family, is put in proper order through prayer, then God's grace flows through that family structure like rivers of living water, and healing takes effect. Now, say one of the kids possessed. Well, of course, if mom and dad are praying based on the fourth commandment, I mean, their prayers are going to be super powerful, man, like nuclear warheads. If mom and dad are doing the protocol because one of the kids is possessed or diabolically afflicted, mom and dad's prayers based on the fourth commandment, the authority structure, demons know mom and dad have the authority to drive them out. Their prayers themselves might drive this demon out. And if the wife's afflicted, the husband's prayer is going to help drive the demon out, and the husband's holiness as well. And if it's one of the parents that's compromised, well, again, just turning the whole family into a fortress of prayer is going to help drive the diabolical out. In other words, Father Ripperger and these other exorcists, they want to turn the house into a monastery for 30 days. They say 80% of people that go through this protocol, 80% of people, even fully possessed, are cleaned up entirely when they go through this 30-day war. This is a war situation, monastic protocol. The demon, 80% of cases are cleaned up by following this prayer protocol.
Jason, and the families that don't do this, the families that have a child that's possibly possessed or doing things that nobody knows about in their own room, this is not what Ephesians 6 is talking about, putting on the full shield of God. You can't put on the full shield to protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one if you have people in different rooms in the same property allowing the darts to enter in.
It makes sense, right, Eddie?
It absolutely makes sense. And that's that. And, you know, we're dealing with three families right now, Jess, who are having a simultaneous problem with the mother and one of the children at the same time. When somebody's being prayed over, the kid has a reaction. When the kid's being prayed over, the mother has a reaction. This is something that people have to understand. It has to be a family. The domestic church has to be led by the domestic, the priest of the household, the father. And you can't support the father by being involved in sin.
Eddie, and that makes sense. Now, with Father Payton's words, the one that gave us the Family Rosary Crusade back in the 40s, he said, the family that prays together stays together. It all makes sense with Father Justin Brady, the exorcist from Boise, saying that when the domestic church is in proper order, God's grace flows through that structure like rivers of living water. And I'll tell you, Eddie, once again, Father Ripperger says it very clearly. Kyle Clement, who's his right-hand man, they say 80% of penitents heal from diabolical affliction, even possession, just by doing this phase one prayer protocol. Now, I know it's not easy. I've done it before. I've done it just for myself, just to go through for 30 days. And it's not easy, yeah. Because I don't get up at 6 in the morning. So I had to set up my clock at 6 in the morning to do the 6 a.m. prayers. But I'll tell you what it's meant to do. This is meant to strengthen your will, because oftentimes people that are diabolically afflicted, their thoughts are darkened, their intellect is darkened, and their will is weakened. So what the prayers do, first of all, reciting these prayers of the church, you're strengthening your intellect with the doctrine of the Catholic Church, because all prayers come from Catholic doctrine. It's all Catholic doctrine, Marian doctrines, patristic doctrines, Trinitarian doctrines, Christology. So prayer is reordering your intellect so you can embrace and understand the doctrines of the church. Number two, this type of monastic prayer protocol, it strengthens your will, because people that are diabolically afflicted or unevangelized, their will is weakened. I mean, they don't have the ability to resist sin, because it's just because, again, they haven't taken custody of their intellect and custody of their will. So, and during this prayer protocol, obviously, during this period, they're going to their parish priest. If you're diabolically afflicted, you should be going every week. Every exorcist says that, weekly confession for a diabolically afflicted. You go to the parish priest, he's going to hear your confession. And oftentimes, again, with the prayer protocol and weekly confession, that's all it takes. That's all, it breaks it. And of course, the priest is going to support you with practical spiritual direction. You know, if he's the guy, he's going to say, make sure you're not looking at nothing in the computer that you're not supposed to look at, and make sure he's going to encourage you. Make sure you're doing your daily rosary, your daily divine mercy. So the priest will give you practical spiritual direction based on the protocol. And also, again, he's going to pray for courage and perseverance.
Just one of my favorite prayers that they suggest here is the Angelus, because I think the theology behind this is such a beautiful thing. It goes right back to the beginning, just when Jesus, it's thought, you know, certain theologians believe this is what happened, that they thought that the God the Father, the Trinity revealed to the angels that they were going to take the form of a man at some point in history. And the angels rebelled against that, Jez. They said, no, you know what? If you're going to become anybody, you should become like us, not like those creatures that you made that are just going to sin against you. They're probably going to kill you. And so when we see the angels, it reminds them of this, of what they were designed and created to be. And it reminds them about their rebellious nature, and it reminds them just about the incarnation. And this,
right,
that's the beauty of this prayer. It's just too much. I just realized that how beautiful it was in the last few months, and I began to pray it. And I'll tell you what, it's very powerful.
Yeah, it's a reminder of the incarnation, that God became a man. This is the doctrine that Satan refused to accept, that got him thrown out of heaven, and onto planet Earth, and a third of the demons with him. It's the rejection of the incarnation, which is the high point of Christianity. This is what sets us apart from the Jews and Muslims, is that we believe God became a man. They don't believe that. Yeah. And so as you pray this three times a day, this is a constant reminder of that event, which caused his expulsion from heaven, because he rejected that doctrine of the church, and he embraced heresy. He says, no, that can't happen. I reject it. And remember what happens when you pray. When you pray, the church says there's this prayer makes God present. Okay, think about that. Okay, in Greek, that's called anamnesis. That's what happens at the Mass. When the priest says the words of consecration, what happens there is called anamnesis. Anamnesis means that God makes the priest's prayers present. Well, that's what happens with our prayers as well, theologically speaking. Our prayers make God present. And so as you say the Angelus throughout the day, you're projecting those that prayer out into the cosmos, out into the air. And where do demons dwell, angels and demons? In the air. That's what the Bible says. They're in the air, or called heavenly places, or the cosmos. Your prayers come out of your mouth just like a bullet comes out of a gun. And your prayers come up from your soul, out of your mouth. They project into the air like a bullet. That's their offensive nature. And it makes that event present, the incarnation present, to angels, which empowers them, and to demons, which injures them. So that's why prayer has an offensive nature, because it projects like a bullet into the cosmos, and it makes what you're praying for present. It makes the incarnation present. And it also, there's also a defensive nature to prayer, because as it projects out of your mouth, like a bullet projects from a gun, as your prayers project out of your mouth, it sets up a defensive perimeter. These prayers, the Angelus, the Confiteor, Psalm 130, it sets up a defensive perimeter around your family, because demons are repelled by prayer, and so you're protecting your family by doing so, and it also injures them. Our prayer injures demons. It torments, it wounds them. So there's an offensive nature to prayer and a defensive nature. Just think about a bullet coming out of a gun. That's what comes out of your mouth. Prayer comes from your soul, out of your mouth, and into the air. Where are angels and demons? The Bible says they're in the air, in the cosmos, in heavenly places. And when you're praying like the Divine Mercy, you're putting the blood of Jesus out there. You're making that present out into the air, into the world of angels and demons. That empowers the angels, and that injures the demons.
Just one of the things I also thought about is because God decided to enter into his creation to rescue some of his creation, human beings, from other members of his creation, the angels. So he's really entering into his creation to save those who are participating with him, trying to achieve certain godly goals, and the ones that have rebelled against him. So it's all in my humble thoughts, Jess, it's all good versus evil, and Jesus has already won that battle. But it's always good to reflect back on that. That's what came to me as I was looking at this article yesterday.
And let's not forget that our intellect properly ordered, it honors God, because our intellect, it strengthens our will, and we want to do the will of God. We can only do the will of God if we know our Catholic faith. That's the intellect. If you know your Catholic faith, you're forming your intellect, and now your will is going to be strengthened, and you're going to be able to please God. Eddie, I think that's a wrap.
That's a week. Jesus 911, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for Gary Machuda on Hands-On Apologetics. Remember, this is stuff that we give you every day on Jesus 911 to repack your war bag, go out there and do battle. And remember our war cry here at Jesus 911, Quis ut Deus, who's unlike to God. God bless you. Talk to you later.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.